praying for the reading of the Word of God. Turn with me to begin with in the book of Romans. We'll go to three different books. First of all, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23. Reminding us, this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. It is indeed, thus saith the Lord. And he would have us to hear, believe, embrace, and live our lives in light of his word. So let's hear him. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. That was verse 11. Drop down to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now back up to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse number 16. I would hope that by now all of us would be able to quote this one. It's probably the most recognized verse in the whole Bible throughout the entire world. And sometimes as you're traveling from place to place, you might see on the sign just the word, John 3:16. It's not quoted, but you automatically know what it is. And we don't necessarily need to see it written out to be reminded what John 3:16 says. But this morning, we're going to look at it, and I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 47. This entire chapter is one where Jesus was doing a lot of the speaking and teaching. And John 6:47 are words right from our Lord's lips. Here's what he said. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And now let's go toward the back of the Bible, to the book of Ephesians. To Ephesians chapter number 2. I'll read the first 10 verses from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The title of the sermon this morning is simply this. It's printed for you in the bulletin. ARP Church Membership. I have preached, as you well know, over the past weeks, 6 to 7 sermons on the subject. And so today I'm just going to summarize and review before you are invited to join and become a member of this ARP church. If you remember where we started, very first question, and we passed these out to you. Everyone was to have a copy. I encourage you to just fold that up, keep it in your Bible, bring it with you every Sunday, and we would work our way through each one of these, and there's 7 of them, 7 questions or vows that people take in order to become members of the church. Very first one reads like this. Do you confess that you are a sinner in the sight of God, that you deserve his punishment, that you are unable to save yourself, and that you are without hope of salvation except for God's love and mercy? The Bible teaches us that that's the case, that that's true of each one of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And there's only one that ever walked the face of the earth who was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect, a sinless life. He perfectly obeyed the law of God in order that when he died, he could offer himself as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God that indeed takes away the sins of all of us who are his. But the rest of us were even conceived with a sinful nature, and we read that in Psalm 51. David himself, King David, acknowledging that in sin my mother conceived me. He wasn't talking about her sinful way of conceiving, but he was talking about his own sinful nature. It began at conception, when his life began. And that's the way it's been with all of us since Adam and Eve fell into sin, and we read about that in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. So in order to become members of an ARP church, we have to own up to our sinfulness. We just have to agree with God that that's true, that that's the way it is. I remember I was pastoring a church in Florida, and we hired an outside person for a particular ministry in the church, choir director. And I was preaching along this line one Sunday about us, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, etc. Well, after worship that day, he came up to me and said, "Well, preacher, I need to tell you something." I said, "Okay, what's that?" He said, "Since I became a Christian, I haven't sinned." I said, "Really? Give me 60 seconds with your wife to see if we can verify that." He just didn't understand. Even after we become Christians, our sinful nature still resides in us, and that's why we think and say and do the things that we do that are not even pleasing to ourselves, much less to the Lord, and sometimes not pleasing to others. We deal with this thing our entire life until we die and we're separated from our body and present with the Lord, or when he comes again, if that's before we experience physical death. We read about that in Galatians chapter 5, the war within, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So in order to become a member of the church, we must confess. Yes, I'm a sinful person, and I deserve his punishment. If I got what I deserved, that's what it'd be. I would experience the punishment and the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God, and I would spend eternity in the fire of hell forever because that's what I deserve. And that I'm unable to save myself. There's nothing I can do to change myself or to save myself. And I'm without hope of salvation except for God's love and mercy. If he did not love me and have mercy upon me, I'd still be lost and dead in my trespasses and sins, and I certainly would not be up here reading and preaching the word this morning. I can assure you of that. In fact, he had to work on me pretty hard to get me to do this after I was saved. And I certainly wouldn't have had anything to do with it before. Well, that's question number one. So we need Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, in order to be forgiven. We cannot buy our forgiveness. We cannot earn our forgiveness. We cannot merit it in any way. And that's why question number two. And it simply asks, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and trust in Him alone for salvation? And either we do or we don't. Just that simple. Two kinds of people in this world. Those who believe, those who don't. Those who are saved, those who are not. Those who are Christians, and those who are not. And the Bible even tells us that we should examine ourselves to see if we be of the household of faith. And the Bible tells us that we can know absolutely for sure that we have eternal life, and we should know for sure. We won't have any. I remember when I struggled with that, even after being born again. And the devil will do everything he can to whip up on us and try to convince us that we're not saved, that we don't belong to God, that we're still lost, that we're going to go to hell, and all those things. He's a liar and a deceiver. And if we're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, he will do everything he can to mislead us. But Jesus himself said, believe in me and you will have eternal life. We need to take him at his word. His word is true. And we just need to take him at it. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and trust in him alone for your salvation? It's not Christ plus something else. It's Christ alone. And so we say, yes, I believe in Christ alone. And he has given to me, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, saving faith. Even the faith that I have to trust in Christ alone, I didn't work that up. It didn't just come out of me. It was something that he gave me. He enables us. Causes us to be born again, and he enables us to confess that we're sinners. He enables us and empowers us to say, yes, I believe in Christ and I'm trusting him alone, his life and his death and resurrection plus nothing else. Just like the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and on the third day he arose again from the dead. And so we confess that we believe. Question number three. Do you accept the Bible, comprised of the Old and New Testaments, as the written word of God, and that it is the only perfect rule of faith and how to live? The only perfect rule for what we are to believe and how we are to live our lives. Faith and practice. And that Sunday I preached from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That says that all scripture, and that's Old and New Testament, 66 books of the Bible, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. This book, the Bible, is indeed the word of the living God. If we want to find the will of God, we covered this in our officer training last Tuesday night. If we want to find the will of God, we go to the Word of God. That's where we will discover what His will for us is. And so we in the ARP Church require in order for people to become a member, that they confess, I believe this. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that it's our only rule of faith and practice. It tells us what we are to believe, and it tells us how we are to live. Question number four. Do you promise to trust in the guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit so that you can live all of life as a Christian, following the example set by Jesus Christ? So again, we're not left to ourselves to live the Christian life. When God the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again, He takes up residence within us. And the Lord told His disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll send the Comforter to you, and He will be with you. And He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And it's in the Great Commission. By the way, I'll be using that as one text for next Sunday, the Great Commission. I will be with you even to the end of the age. And so it is. And so it's the Holy Spirit that works in our lives to enable us to read and understand what the Bible says, and He's the one who empowers us to believe what the Word of God says and to practice it, live it out in our lives. We don't get the glory for any of this. It's all of His doing. And rightly so. If you read Galatians 5:22, that list of things, I think there are 9 on the list, and it's referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. It's not stuff we come up with and do in our own strength. And love is the first thing on the list. The Bible tells us we love because He first loved us. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, that enables us to love God and to love others. This is what He works in us. And living as a Christian, it's the Holy Spirit who enables us, again, to do what Christ said. And Christ Himself, in these very words, says, recorded in John 14, verses 15 and 21, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we don't keep them perfectly. I'll be first to confess that. In fact, our confession on the catechism answers to the question is, can anyone perfectly keep the law of God in this life? And the answer is, no, we cannot, that we break the law of God in word, thought, and deed every day. Another reminder that we're sinful, our sin nature continues with us even in this life after we're born again, yet at the same time, there is evidence that we've been born again because we do obey and keep His commandments at least some of the time. And aren't we glad and thankful for that? Did I hear my wife say amen? And so it is. But as we depend on the Holy Spirit for strength and guidance to live as Christians. Number 5, do you promise to exercise faithful stewardship of God's resources entrusted to you for the furtherance of God's kingdom and purpose? Now, and I preached from Malachi 3:7 through 12 about tithing, and from 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10 and 17 through 19 on this subject. So many in our world today are misled concerning money and material things. And we should not be as the children of God. We need to know what His Word says concerning these things, and it will save us a lot of worry and grief and frustration and hypertension and all sorts of things if we just discover and put into practice what God says about money and material things. Just that simple. And so, first of all, he tells us that we're to be faithful stewards of the resources he entrusts to us. And that passage in 1 Timothy told us, you brought nothing into the world, you'll take nothing out of it either. How true that is. It all gets left behind. And I would recommend to you, as I believe I did during that sermon, that if you don't have your house in order, and if you have not yet made arrangements for what's going to happen with your money and material things once you die, you need to get that done. Because we, any of us, could breathe our last today, and we're gone, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but all the other stuff stays behind. And I'll tell you, it'll give you great peace of mind if you get that worked out, and if those that are going to be entrusted with it after you're dead and gone know it's coming and are prepared to manage that and be stewards of that as God would require of them once it passes from us to them. Very thankful. Joyce and I got that worked out a long time ago. And we give our kids an update at the end of every year. They know as much about our finances as we do and material things. And so, and I shared with you, I remember sharing with you on that very day I preached that sermon, that I've had friends tell me, you mean you're not afraid for them to have copies of power of attorney? Don't you know they could empty all of your accounts? And I said, but I know they won't do that. And my friends said, how do you know that? Two reasons. Number one, they know me. they wouldn't touch it without my approval. And number two, we've raised them, brought them up, taught them better. They're Christians. They know the Lord. They know his word. And they're not about to steal from anybody, much less their parents. So that's not going to happen. But thankfully, they rejoice with us as we do about how the Lord has blessed us, and we want to be and try to be, seek to be faithful stewards of those things that he's entrusted to us. And we do so for our family's good, for the furtherance of God's kingdom and his purpose. And we want to do with it what he wants us to do with it. We know he's the owner of all things. He's just letting us manage some of it along the way. All right, that's question number five. All right, number six. Do you accept that the doctrines and principles of the standards of the Associate Reformed Church are founded upon the Scriptures? Now again, our standards consist of six things. Westminster Confession of Faith, Larger Catechism, Shorter Catechism, Form of Government, Book of Discipline, Directive of Worship. And hopefully, you will indeed accept that these things are based on what the Bible teaches about them. And I reminded you on that day that every elder and every deacon, every ordained minister in the ARP Church and many other denominations has to take a vow that we embrace these things. And also reminded you that Hebrews 13:17 says that you're to submit yourself to your leaders because they will give an account as those who watch over your souls. And I know we will. One day we're going to have to give an account to the Lord our God for the things that we've said and done as elders and deacons in his church, which he has purchased with his own blood. It's not our church, it's his church. And we are to lead it and to do ministry in it according to his word, his will, not our own. And He's going to hold us accountable for that because you are His sheep. And He loves you, and He died for you. And He gives eternal life to you, and you are precious in His sight. And so He's going to hold us accountable for what we do as your elders. And so it is that these things are founded upon the Bible. Question 7. In loving obedience, do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of this church, promising to seek the peace, purity, and prosperity of this congregation as long as you are a member of it? And so God Himself tells us that we are to submit to those in authority over us. Even us preachers have authority over us. That's why we're members of Presbytery. Presbytery has authority over those of us who are ordained ministers, and they hold us accountable for the things that we do and the things that we believe and the ministries that we have. And rightly so. God establishes authority in the home, for example. Boy, our culture needs to hear this. I'd like to have an hour on TV to tell everybody about the authority of parents over children rather than the other way around. Authority in the family, authority at school, authority in the church, authority in the government, authority on the wherever we recreate. I used to play golf. I'm not doing much of that anymore. Just don't have time. It takes a lot of time to do that. But even when I'd go to the golf course before I would arrive, I would check to see if they had rules about even the kind of shirt that you're required to wear. And there were golf courses that would not allow you to play with a t-shirt on. You had to have a collared shirt. So I kept one of those in my golf bag in case I showed up at one of those places. I could pull that collared shirt out and wear it instead of my t-shirt so I could get out there and play. But their authority structures in all of our lives, and therefore our good, Romans 13 tells us. No authority has been established except by God, and it's for the good of His people, to protect us. And so it is. Peace, we're to live at peace with all men as best we can. Purity, God calls upon us to live holy as He is holy, to live a separated life, to live not as the world lives, we're in it, but not of it, but to live as His people, as He enables and empowers us to. And to seek the prosperity of this church of which we are a member. And by the word, that I had to do some study on this, because the first thing kicks into my mind when I think of prosperity, I think of money and material things. That kind of prosperity. Well, that's not what this is talking about. It's used instead of the word good. Okay? Prosperity meaning good. That you would promise to seek the good of this local church. You want to do what's best for this local church. You don't want to hurt it. You don't want to harm it. You don't want to do any of that. You want to do what's good. I'll tell you, the best thing that you can do for this body of believers today is to join it. That's the best thing you can do today for it. And so I hope that you're ready for that. But first, let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, You know everything about us, what we think, what's in our hearts. We can only look at the outward, and You look at the heart. And Father, I pray, as I have many times before now, that You would work Your sovereign will in each life that's present right now in this place of worship. cause us to submit our wills to your will, and to trust that whatever you bring to pass, we acknowledge that that's your doing. And so, Father, we pray and ask again that you do what's pleasing in your sight in each life that's present here today. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've heard sermons.